is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
Yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Friday, got to get down on Friday, September 27th of 2024. I am Paul Gallant. He is Joe George. The Houston Texans are playing the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday, and I don't know if it's a must-win game for them, but it is definitely a must-win game for this fan base, because as we talked about a little bit earlier this week, no fan base wavers quite like Houston Texans fans. When the going gets rough, they will find a small child or woman and get on the life raft.
Yeah, they're ready to hit that panic button. They're hovering over it.
Which is crazy, because they'd still be 2-2 and
but they're
in
supposed
first
to go undefeated,
place in the
Paul.
AFC South. No one said that, did they?
No. But that's how a lot of Texans fans act, I feel like. Felt like going into the season.
It's new money. It's these new money people that are coming back after having ignored them entirely for a couple of years. You have massive expectations going into the year. You get pantsed by the Minnesota Vikings. And now you're like, oh, perhaps this was all overstated. And we were a part of it to an extent, but I felt like as we continued to talk about praise after praise take from talking head after talking head, we started to get to the point where we thought, okay, I mean, they still have to prove things out there. And I don't really know what they can't prove Sunday. People want them to win with style points, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Not at all? You're totally out on the style points?
It's not happening. Why would it happen? They don't blow teams out, and the Jaguars beat them the last time they played them. And I don't care if they've lost the last 8 starts by Trevor Lawrence. The last time that we saw Trevor Lawrence get a win was against the Texans, and he threw for almost 400 yards.
Yeah, I mean, the style points is probably an unrealistic ask at this point. You know, like what we've seen from the injury report so far, even though it looks like it's going to be a little bit better today when it comes out. But it just... this team, well, one of the things we talked about, and we'll talk about 215, I'm sure, they don't cover. So, no. Like, it's one of the, like, yeah, it's, I think it's still 6.5 at this point. That's a 1-score game, and it feels like it's going to be closer than that, even though Evan Ingram's going to be out for the Jags this weekend, which hurts them a lot. Asking the Houston Texans to win this game by more than 10 points is a lot to ask. In my brain.
Are you asking for it?
I don't know. Because, like, you kind of talked me out of it yesterday. Like, it's like, in my mind, it's like the expectations for this team going into the season was that when they play a bad football team, they would win by more than 10 points. Well, this is a bad football team. Jacksonville's not good. Mm-hmm. And they're having, what Buffalo did to them was an embarrassment. They are on the cusp of firing their coach. So in theory, like in my mind, it's like, well, the Texans should do this. They should win by more than 10 points. But what they've done on the field so far this season, there's no real reason to believe that.
The Jaguars are also not as bad as they showed in that Monday game. I know we all want to believe it. They're just not. They are a middle-of-the-road NFL team. They are a borderline playoff contender. They are off to a terrible start. But first two games, they could have won both of them. They could have. We're looking at that one game, and we're thinking to ourselves, easy pickings, but I think the Dallas Cowboys would tell you, after barely hanging on to beat the New York Giants last night because Daniel Jones, for whatever reason, decided to throw a Hail Mary a play early.
Yeah.
Not like they were going to march down the field and win it or anything like that, but, I mean, it is a tough league. And I think sometimes we get this idea that they need to win with style points. And I would like them to win with style points. I just don't see it happening. So I will go back and I will say, just to keep people engaged, they have to win this game. I'm hoping they win this game. We are all hoping they win this game. I don't know that I think they'll win. I definitely know I do not believe they will cover. I mean, 6-point spread, which is outrageous to give to a team that just lost 34-7, no matter how much hype they had going into the year.
I mean, the thing is, it's close I mean, close to a must win. Because you play Buffalo the next week. Your schedule's tough. When we talked all offseason about how tough your schedule is, in everyone's mind, especially once the schedule's out and you start seeing, like, okay, you do the, in your mind, you do the win-loss thing. Everyone got to Minnesota and said win.
Yeah.
And if you lose to Jacksonville, well, then the following Sunday at home, you play the Buffalo Bills, who are right now playing the best football in the NFL. They're playing better than the Chiefs on offense. They're electric right now. You don't want to fall to 2-3 when you've got a schedule that still includes the likes of Green Bay with Jordan Love and Detroit and Dallas and then, you know, Kansas City and Baltimore. Like, you just don't want to put yourself in that position. So while it's not must win because of your division, if you were in any other division, you would say this is one of the most important games of the season. But you're in the AFC South, so it's like they almost get a pass a little bit because we know the division's not good. But for the fan base, you're right, it's must win. Or they're going to be freaking out on Monday.
713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. One text from the 832. What happens if the Jaguars win Sunday? Where does that put us? Still in first place in the AFC South. They'd still be in first. So you've got that going for you, at least. The only team that could potentially have the same record as you, the Colts, you beat. So you'd have the tiebreaker. But you would feel differently about this team. And having been here in 2018 and doing a show at the flagship, people were so checked out after an 0-3 start. I'm not saying people are going to check out. I'm just thinking people believe the hype so much this offseason that a 2-1 start has them wavering already, and a 2-2 start would have people freaking out. Which is funny because there are still, after this game on Sunday, 13 games left. But this is just the way it is. And I don't blame Texans fans for feeling this way, though I do think we all should take a bit of a deep breath. Because a loss is not the end of the world. It's just going to be in the eyes of a lot of people out there because of those expectations.
I do think it's wavering a little too much. I think the reaction has been a little extreme. I know the loss to Minnesota was not pretty. But you're 2-1. It's the NFL. And it's like Texans fans have to relearn that the NFL is good. Like that there's just... Look, you have teams who finish with 7 wins who get top 10 picks. It's like they think that top 10 pick teams have 3 or 4 wins and that the entire bottom of the NFL is terrible. A majority of the league is within a game of 500 every single year. And I think it's like people have forgotten that. And they expected the Texans to just roll through everyone this year. And then this loss was just so staggering and so surprising. It's like, wow, like there was great expectations for this team. Like the games like this, it shouldn't have been that ugly, but losses are going to happen. And you're right, it's not the end of the world if they lose this game. It might depend on how they lose, though. Like if they have a similar performance, we'll be having a different conversation on Monday. Like if they lose 34-7 at Jacksonville, we'll be having a much different conversation. So I think you have to leave a little bit
of
gray.
Is that possible?
Anything's possible.
Thank you. Insight.
Anything's possible.
Quoting Kevin Garnett.
I don't know what else to say. Like, I don't want to say no, because then if it happens, that's going to bite me in the
percentage
ass.
Percentage chance that it happens.
5%.
5%. That's pretty high.
Is that pretty high?
That's pretty high. Listen, I'm not 1%? Saying what is or what isn't. I'm just asking you questions. They're not loaded. I'm not trying to bully you.
No, I know you're not.
I'm not trying to set you up. These aren't trick questions. I'm just curious what you feel.
I said 5%. Immediately, I was like, that might be a little high. I just wanted to make sure I was a single digit. As my brain was processing, I was like, don't say anything above 10.
This show is all about vibes, okay? We're Gen Z. We're Gen Alpha.
No, we're not. We got called millennials yesterday.
Oh, yeah, one of our interns. Yeah, what was it specifically that she said? You're so millennial. And you guys are just spilling tea every day. She's great, though.
She's
funny.
She's great.
She spilled some tea about her sorority drama, yesterday's intern. And we've given her a homework assignment. If she can actually summarize all of this in 1 minute or less, we actually might make this a recurring segment.
Yeah.
What's going on at the sorority today?
Yeah.
But
sorority chats. I mean, look, you know, I mean, There's going to be days when the Astros don't have playoff games that we're going to, you know.
Oh, what do you mean?
There's off days.
Oh, okay.
Well, and plus, you know, when they win the World Series, that only goes through October. So.
Oh, I mean, we're just going to talk Houston Texans all the time.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, that was a sarcastic, yeah.
Well, I just need them to be better than this. It makes me, it's just, negative sports talk is not as fun.
No, I honestly don't enjoy it. I mean, a lot of people think that it's easier for somebody to do a job when it's a disaster that you're talking about every day. And I disagree with that entirely. Because finding a new way to talk about the disaster every day when it's just bad, it gets a little bit repetitive. Now, people call in, they get angry, all that stuff, but yeah. A couple of texts, 713-780-3776. Brandon T. doesn't feel he's wavering. He says the Texans will be a playoff team. I still feel they'll be a playoff team. From the 832, take away our field goals. We are averaging 13 points a game. Another texter, it's not the loss. It's the 10 points in six quarters. It's the blowout. That's from Phillip 68.
I agree. Like, that's... it's not just one game. It's the through three games, the offense has been bad. The offense hasn't been good. I mean, even when healthy, it's not been good. And now it's getting, seems to be more and more unhealthy at this point. Now, maybe we'll get a surprise. Joe Mixon was at practice.
Mixon
today.
Was at practice. That's a good development. But yeah, Tank Dell, I don't think he'll play on Sunday.
Yeah, Nico was at practice today. So that's also...
he had a hamstring injury that popped up at the injury report yesterday. That was concerning. That one.
Yeah, that one.
More than like, anything.
Like, well, Nico.
They can win without Tank Dell.
Yeah, they can win without Tank Dell. They did it last year. Not a lot, but they won without Tank Dell last year. Mm-hmm. But you have Stephon Diggs. Like, that's part of, you know, you invested in a luxury item. In Stephon Diggs, and well, injuries is one of those things that of why you did it. But yeah, I mean, expectations for this team is to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars this weekend. And please cover.
Please.
It would just make me feel better. I'm not going to wager on them to cover. It would just make me feel better.
I also think part of it's because Texans fans, at least online, have really just kind of bullied the Jags for, I don't know, like 6 months, it feels like. Like, for some reason, the Jags is the team that Texans fans online feel most comfortable punching down on. And to, like you said, lose to them last year and then lose to them this year, I think it'll be a real reality check for a lot of these people.
Especially the way they talk about Trevor Lawrence. Like, I think that adds to it. It's not just the Jags.
It's like they are the punching bags for Texans fans.
Yeah, I mean, the way Texans fans talk about Trevor Lawrence, and he's been terrible this year. I mean, it looks like an awful contract through three games already. But the way they talk about Trevor Lawrence, and if he throws for 400 yards and beats you this weekend, Texans fans are going to be sad.
400 yards would be crazy.
300.
I was going to say, has anyone this year thrown for 400 yards?
Dalton
last week had the first 300 yards, three touchdown game.
Andy Dalton, I mean, quarterback play has been so bad this year, it's so hard to keep up with, like,
yeah,
if anyone's done anything special.
That's like mentally, when you said 400 yards, like, in normal years, yes, that is like a possible thing.
But this year?
It's like that's straight up impossible.
Yeah, it's been awful. Awful, awful, awful quarterback play.
And awful refereeing. Speaking of which, there was a football game last night, and I have two questions. One, if the Texans beat the Jaguars the same way the Cowboys beat the Giants, would you be happy? Two, I think I'm coming around to something Joe said about the NFL not too long ago. Galana George, stay put.
Want to talk to you guys about O-Athletic, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd over in the Heights. They offer over 100 classes per week. You can sign up with a personal trainer. They've got all your recovery needs as well, from the sauna, the steam room, to the endless pool. So you can pretty much work out any way you want. They even have a little, you know, soccer area. Or grass area that you can work out. So you can really explore how you want to get into shape. You can take Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes. You can do agility training classes, powerlifting classes. All of that is available for you at O Athletic. Check them out, oathletic.com, and make sure you tell them that Joe George sent you by.
Got it! For the fourth year in a row, in the seventh consecutive full season, the Astros are the AL West champions.
Your Houston Astros are back in the playoffs.
And we'll drive one high and deep to right field. It's gone!
And you can-
can hear every playoff game right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We are tougher than any team, and you know what? Here we come. Let's go!
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Anyone watch that Thursday night football game last night? I'm not going to lie. I hate watched it because I was hoping for something. I was hoping that a man who many consider to be past his prime would deliver. And oh man, this was like Justin Verlander throwing a no-hitter at age 43. Al Michaels turned back the clock and just started pew, 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 sniping the game that he is being paid very handsomely to cover. He just started taking shot after shot after shot.
He was not happy. He never seems happy. I don't know what would make him happy. I guess like even I feel like if the Bills and the Chiefs played and it was like 41-40 final score, I feel like he'd be upset about something. He just seems so curmudgeon-y.
Do we want to go through it?
Yes.
Sean, if we could pull some of the clips here. This is the first moment that Al Michaels made reference to the great many penalties that we saw in Thursday night football.
2-minute warning. Has not occurred. We got another flag. It's like June 14th here. Otherwise known as Flag Day, as you know. Clay Martin looks like a referee out of Central Casting.
It's like a young Terry McCauley out there.
I like it when the game turns bad because then Al gets good, which is weird. But Al hate watching Thursday night football. To me, it's like watching Mystery Science Theater 3000. For those who don't know, this is this old TV show that used to be on Sci-Fi where a couple of people, they're sitting in a movie theater, they're watching these terrible sci-fi movies, and they're just making fun of it the whole way through.
I never got into that. I've heard some people say they started rewatching it, though.
It's fun to rewatch.
Is it a good rewatch experience?
Just know what you're getting into because these movies are truly horrible.
Okay.
The commentary is funny. The movies are so bad.
I think one of my biggest, like the worst things that I do is I'm a sucker for bad movies.
Mm.
Like, there are just some movies that I know they're terrible, but I watch them anyways. Like the first Suicide Squad movie with Will Smith. I know it's a bad movie, Paul, but I watch it. Just like Al Michaels watches bad football on Thursday. But at least he gets paid for that. Like, I give him, like, you know, he's just complaining about the refs all the time. Is he complaining about the refs or the players with the flags, you think?
I think he complains about it all. But when the referees in particular get going, he really gets going. Here's another just beautiful Al Michaels moment where he starts getting mad about all the flags getting thrown.
Oh. Thibodeau came across the line. You got a free play. You got another flag. You have two more flags in the backfield. No more laundry left. Colbert made the catch, 29-yard line, and any number of calls coming your way.
You got offsides, then you have free play, and then you have a hold by the left tackle, the rookie Guyton. He tackled Thibodeau that time.
There are fouls by both teams on the play.
I'll bet.
Offside, defense number 5. Holding. Offense number 60. Those penalties offset. Previous spot. We'll replay the down.
That was a beautifully timed, I bet.
Yeah. It was very, very like sneaky. Just like squeeze that in there. Like, that's why he's still great. Like in a lot of ways.
I don't know if he's still great, but I think it's very entertaining to hear about the call for games that are bad.
And he just gets all the bad games.
Every Thursday night game has moments like this. And last night, I mean, Malik Nabers looks great because of concussion. Micah Parsons gets injured. DeMarcus Lawrence gets injured. It was the perfect cacophony of NFC East football, NFC East football featuring Daniel Jones, bad refereeing, injuries, and Al Michaels, when he is given a storm, He turns it into something special.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite one. That's probably the one that's gone like the most like viral around social media because he said there's no more laundry left. I mean, he's right. Now, some of those are the same penalties, but it's just there's so much on one play. That's almost like it's happening across the NFL. Like, I know we've crushed the Texans a lot for the amount of penalties they've had. It just feels like when you're – I guess maybe last week it was when we were in the sports book watching all the games at LaBerge. Just felt like there was always at least two games that there was the yellow thing on the screen saying flag. It just – football feels extra sloppy across the league.
Yeah, and that's what I'm coming around to. Yeah. You were saying that this game last night, good God. Even me. September baseball might have been better. I mean, hell, that game in Oakland – at the Coliseum, with all those fans there in attendance for the last game ever.
Who is this talking right now?
You been drinking, Paul?
No.
Okay.
No.
Making sure.
No, I kind of want to. I'm a little stressed about what's going on in the Bay. But, that was rough. That was really rough. But the Cowboys still won. The Cowboys are, right now, a football team that clearly has a lot of issues, but they're 2-2 and they got the win. Ultimately, it is all about winning. It's the National Football League. Mm-hmm. It's an 8-8 league, as Bill O'Brien used to tell us all the time.
Stats are for losers.
Final scores for winners. If the Texans beat the Jaguars in a game like that, is that enough? Is that enough to calm all the worry warts? A game where there's terrible flags everywhere.
20-15.
A couple more false starts from Laremy Tunsil, right? I mean, lock. It's still going to happen on Sunday.
Hopefully only once, though. Under two. Over under 1.5. Over under this weekend.
Over.
Over.
Over. Over. And I actually want to see it. This is me. Okay, my inner Al Michaels wants it.
The first one, I will definitely find it hilarious no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
The second one, I'll probably be less hilarious. Any more than that, I'll be mad again.
Okay, so I know like this will be the first time I cover a Texans game in a long time. Actually, first time. I know all the rules, but should I expect like an audible groan in the press box the first time he jumps off? When Laremy Tunsil jumps, like, do people just like?
There's no. So what you're saying is, you know that there's no cheering in the press.
There's
box.
No cheering in the press
but
box.
But is there jeering in the press?
Yeah,
box
like when Laremy Tunsil jumps, it's just like everyone's just like, ugh.
There will be
like
a groan.
Yeah.
There will 100% be a groan.
I might laugh. I'll be in the laughing category. Like, I'm just going to giggle.
You're going to understand, though, that it's a quiet place. You got season tickets. It's way better to watch with the season tickets.
My mom and dad are going to the game this weekend. So
gotcha.
I'm going to do the press box trip this weekend.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not fun. It's just quiet. I won't say a peep the whole time. Imagine me shutting up for 4 hours.
I'm going to sit next to you for 4 hours and we're not going to say a word?
We might say a few.
Okay.
We might say a few.
But it's the thing where Paul is just kind of saying something to himself and you're next to him. And so you're like, yep. And then that's the end of the conversation.
Pretty much. I'll be in the zone. We can have my headphones in, listening to the game so that I understand what the hell is going on. Because that's the other thing, too. When you're watching the game that high up and you do not have the television broadcast, you have no idea who's who unless you bring binoculars, which I also bring. And those even don't help that much because the press box is so high up.
Yeah, it is the worst press box, no offense to the Texans, in the NFL. Maybe in sports.
I'm not going to go that far.
At least for the ones that I've
been. It's definitely the highest press box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, I guess from the vantage point.
It is very high.
The worst view. Yes. Like I was like, well, I was with my dad. He's like, so where's the press box? And I was like, it's way up there.
you see that hole in the roof?
Like, you see that thing way up top? The roof going to be open this weekend? Is it fixed yet?
I think they said it was. I thought I saw that it was fixed.
I saw Aaron Wilson tweet something that they said it will still be fixed or that it will be fixed, but I don't know if that. He didn't put like a date in.
Oh, there. Maybe that's what I. Maybe I misread that.
So, like, maybe like it'll be fixed eventually?
There's no way it's open, right?
I mean, if it's like this outside, it should be open.
Yeah, but it's like this a lot of times when it's closed.
Yeah, I know. That's because they built it poorly. And the sun shines into the fancy seats, so they got to keep it. They got to keep it closed.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Would you be okay with the Texans winning on Sunday, in the same way that the Giants lost to the Cowboys, would you be okay with the same kind of Texas win that the Cowboys just had? You can answer that. Also up next, who do you want to see the Astros play in the first round of the playoffs, which is a novel concept to all of us? Who do you want to see him play? Let's see it happen. 713-780-3776 to call in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, it's Gallon and George. Stay put.
Last weekend, myself, Sean, and Brian, we were over there at ESPN Bet at LeBurge Lake Charles. It was really cool to see everything opened up and, you know, all the new signage and everything that was going on there, the bright teal shirts that everyone is repping ESPN Bet there. But you have the 19 betting kiosks, the 24-foot video wall. As soon as you cross in Louisiana, you can use ESPN Bet as soon as you get your phone to connect to a tower. So there's a million ways that you can wager while you're there, whether you want to do a parlay, single game action, college football, NFL. But, you know, really, it's just the most important part. It's a great environment. Like, that's what matters most. Like, yeah, you might win some, you'll lose some. It is gambling, after all. But when you're in the environment like that, it was absolutely incredible on Saturday and Sunday as we were all watching, you know, people sweat out. We were sweating out the Colorado game. We were watching the Texans game. We were watching people, Sean and Brian, were sweating out the over-under in that game. So it's a cool environment. The food is great from Chef Lyle. Carbach, Crawford Bach, and Hopadillo on tap as well. I think they even have more Carbach stuff there for you. That's always my go-to when I'm there. When you leave Texas and bet your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LeBurge Lake Charles.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Astros wrap up the season this weekend against the Cleveland Guardians.
We're guards.
And we'll figure out who the Astros end up playing in this BS fake-ass round in possibly as soon as a couple of hours. Because right now, the Detroit Tigers and Kansas City Royals, they just need to win once. So then they are locked in, those two teams, into either being the 5 or the 6 seed in the American League. Minnesota is 3 games back. They're going to need a lot of help to potentially get back up. The Royals are playing the Braves for 3 this weekend. The Braves are fighting to make sure that they make the playoffs. The White Sox are playing the Tigers. For what it's worth, the White Sox have been playing decently of late.
They're fighting. They're scrapping to not have the worst record of all time. Like, that's what they're doing. I have friends who bought tickets to the last 2 games because they wanted to see history made. They left disappointed because they wanted to see the White Sox beat the Angels or lose to the Angels and see the worst baseball team of all time.
This is some great procrastination by the White Sox to be like, we will be tied for the worst, most losses in history. We will, but if we need to win 6 games to avoid it, we'll win them all. We'll win them all just to not do it. They could have won these games in April, but no, they wait until the last minute.
That's how one does it. That's how you do it.
Just procrastinate.
Procrastinate until the last second.
Teams are going to be trying less hard, so that's when we'll start trying.
See, it's smart. Now, everyone's getting fired, but
yes.
But at least you go out with some dignity.
I mean, if you like, you end on
some dignity.
Like, if they end on like a 6-game win streak, it's like Grady Sizemore, manager for the future.
Wow, they scrapped their way back to 42-120.
Manager of the week,
AL manager of the week.
Would you put that up on your wall? You put that on your mantle. I was the manager of the week the last week of the major league regular season after my White Sox made history by avoiding history.
Mm-hmm. Be tough. I mean, you got to celebrate your wins, I guess.
Second worst.
It's literally the exact opposite of the Dolphins thing.
Pretty much?
Yeah. What record are they? Is it like the Cleveland Spiders or something?
Probably.
They just popping champagne.
Like, yeah, do you pop champagne when you don't become the worst team of all time?
Did champagne exist for like the last time a team lost this many games?
Or they were just like chugging moonshine?
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I don't know the answer to these questions. What I do know is that we got to figure out who we want to play between these 3 teams. I mean, optimally, this is decided the last game of the year. It's one of those ones where the Royals lose the first two games and the Tigers lose the first two games, because that means that both the Royals and Tigers would have to use their best pitchers, Cole Ragans and Tarik Skubal, and then they probably wouldn't be able to be used in the wild card series, which is best of three.
Yes.
Still, it's a novel concept to me. I'm still struggling to understand it. I mean, there's a chance that they would be pitching on short rest in a do-or-die game two, say the Astros take care of business in game one. So basically, you want the Braves to do well this weekend, the White Sox to do well this weekend, and for the Twins to take it to the Orioles. That's what I'm rooting for, and I guess I don't really care who the Astros play. I just want absolute carnage and full effort spent by either Kansas City, Detroit, or Minnesota these next three.
Yeah, I lean Kansas City is who I'd rather see the Astros play, mainly because of Skubal. I mean, he is probably going to win the Cy Young in the American League this year, or, I mean, at worst, he's going to finish top three, but he's going to, I would guess, win the Cy Young. And having to face that guy in a three-game series where he's going to get the ball game one head-to-head with Fromber, I just would rather not see a guy of that quality, right? It's like, yeah, I'm asking for the cheaper way out. But I would rather not see Skubal in the first round in a three-game series. So I lean Kansas City. You know, you've done well against, you know, what, you beat the Tigers 2 out of 3 in the first time, both series. So you won 4 out of 6 games versus the Tigers. The last time you played the Royals, you swept them in a four-game series. So you've had success. Detroit's also not the same team they were then. I mean, this is a team that was nearly about to trade Skubal at the deadline. I mean, they were sellers, and then they decided not to, and they went on this crazy run. So I'd much rather play the team that's struggling and at one point had a chance to win their division has fallen completely flat in Kansas City than play the Tigers. So I say Kansas City.
Kansas City, okay.
That's what I want to see them play.
Yes, I guess I just don't want to see the Tigers because of because
they're playing so well.
Yeah, yes, because the Skubal effect, because of the the manager
Hinch,
AJ Hinch effect, and because since since August 20th, they're 23-9 with the best record in baseball.
Whew.
Too hot for me. Give me the Royals who are coughing up this league.
Yeah, and there is like Twins, the poetic. Yeah, because I just assume the Twins are out of it. Like, I mean, like you said, they might be out of it by Friday night. Yeah. So the idea that they're going to find their way back into this just seems so unlikely. To me, it's a two-team race, pretending like the Twins don't even exist at this point. And there is the whole, like, AJ, he's a great manager. I know he had his moments. People don't like 2019. But
it's weird that we criticize Dusty and Joe Espada way more than we ever criticized AJ Hinch, and maybe this is because I was far away from it. I don't remember AJ Hinch getting killed in the same way that those guys did. It was more just for being in the same spot for the 2017-18 sign stealing and not doing enough.
Yeah, I mean, because he got killed for it, but then what, like 3 months later?
Yeah,
the news broke. So it's like, well, so they
I think it was less than that. I think it was like next month.
Yeah, it was November or December of 2019. So, yeah, AJ got crushed.
He got crushed the day after, or like the week after.
And
he
then
was annihilated.
But I don't think he ever really got crushed that much before that moment.
Oh, before that moment, no, he got a pass. That's when Astros fans were all still happy.
Yeah.
That's when, like, there was no bitterness. There was no
anger.
Astros Twitter didn't exist.
Like, now they're a bitter, angry group.
Yeah, I mean, read, like I stumbled upon something the other day when just, like, looking up stuff about Alex Bregman, and it was this article from 2018 with Bregman entering the home run derby. And it was this like waxing poetically about how great Alex Bregman is and how great it is for the sport that someone from the 2017 World Series team was participating in the home run derby the next year. And I was like, wow, times have changed. Like that, those articles would never be written anymore about an Astros player. So I think that's why AJ got a pass, was because there was just, everything was good. And then as soon as he lost the World Series, because he lost it, then everything broke. Everything's just been negative, except they've won a lot.
You know, we blame Garrett Cole for not putting on the Astros hat, but I mean, if AJ Hinch uses him, Would he have been wearing a Scott Boras hat?
He would have been wearing a world championship hat. That's what he would have been
probably
wearing.
It's true. I mean, he'd be doused in champagne.
It's another thing. If I'm Gerrit Cole, I blame AJ Hinch for my reception in Houston.
I would too.
It's actually his fault, not mine.
You guys see the videos of him celebrating the clubhouse? He just looks so awkward.
The Yankees winning the division?
Yeah.
Like, no, I didn't.
He just looks awkward. Like, it's just, it doesn't matter what he does. He just looks like he doesn't belong on this planet in a lot of ways. Like, he looks like an alien.
Damn.
The only
dude.
Way. He sounds like Kermit a little bit. Who's more Kermit the Frog? Patrick Mahomes. Or Gerrit Cole?
Mahomes sounds like if Kermit the Frog was ripping Marlboros for 20 years.
Okay.
But it's still like nasally, but it's just like, it's so raspy. He's like almost on the way to Ed Orgeron, but on the often used Kermit the Frog to Ed Orgeron scale of voices, which we use for so many people. He is.
Everyone knows this.
He's closer to Kermit than Ed.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. I think Gerrit Cole just sounds weird. And the closest thing he kind of sounds like is Kermit the Frog, but there's really no one that sounds like Gerrit Cole, where Mahomes does sound like Kermit.
I want the Astros to play the Twins. I want Carlos Correa back in town.
Oh.
I don't want to boo him. I want to get mad at people for booing at him, for not being Houston hospitable to our friend Carlos.
Don't they typically cheer him in the first at bat?
No, they were booing him after. Bleep out of him in the playoffs. And I feel like just be quiet. Just be quiet when he's up.
In the playoffs, I think all bets are off.
They are.
I think you boo everyone.
Except for with Carlos.
I do love Carlos, but
I love him too, and everyone's so mean to him.
Will they boo Christian Vasquez the way they boo Carlos Correa? Yeah, former Astro.
World champion.
That's also part of the reason I want the Royals. Just I don't want to deal with former Astros watch for three games. Because, you know, it'll be a national broadcast. So, you know, TBS is just going to show AJ Hinch's face or Carlos Correa's
face. They will show AJ Hinch's face at least seven times a game.
But
so just, he used to
manage the Astros. That,
you get it with the Royals, too.
Who?
They're starting first baseman. Yuli.
Eric Hosmer?
Yuli.
Oh. Forgot Yuli's there.
Yeah, Yuli's a Royal
now. Is he still their starter?
I don't know if he's still their starter
gonna
or not.
I was going to say, he was a minor leaguer all year. Now he's going to start in a playoff game?
It says in the last 7 days, he's 3-for-22. He's played in six games.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That sounds like a starting first baseman to me.
God.
So we'll be on Yuli watch for...
And he's got that playoff pedigree.
Yes. He has a play. Oh, well, he has a playoff moment they probably won't show on TV.
that moment, correct.
They probably won't show that one.
But he learned from it.
You never know. I mean, look.
And by learning
it's
from
TBS, we don't know what they can get away with.
He learned from it in that he learned they won't suspend him until the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For doing something.
If there
like
is
that.
A next year for Yuli. So maybe this year they'd have to suspend him. Because they'd have to be like, hey, he might not be in the league next year, so we gotta get him now. That's going to happen. But I would prefer, of the three Astros watch candidates, Yuli would be at the bottom of my power rankings. I want to see, or no, at the top of my power rankings. I want to see Yuli the most. Then Carlos, then AJ. Because Carlos can actually hurt you. He can do damage.
He's a playoff guy.
He is a playoff guy.
Playoff killer. He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stay put. Don't stay foot. Got Rex Ryan taking over Mike Zimmer's job on the brain. MyBookie.ag, you enter promo code BET975. You're going to get an awesome deposit bonus. They will double your initial deposit right away. Yeah. You can bet on live blackjack. You can bet on live poker. You can bet on all sorts of things. Hey, how about you bet on a little Houston Texans? They're still 6-point favorites. That is ridiculous. Take the Jaguars to cover. Take them. If the Texans win, great. We feel good. We feel better. But 6? Come on. The Jaguars are not this bad. I hope I'm wrong, but they're not this bad. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 to bet on all things NFL. You can bet on the Astros or World Series odds. The Astros are fourth best odds, plus 970. See, MyBookie.ag, they respect the Astros, and you should respect MyBookie.ag as the best place to gamble. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
ESPN
97.5.
Broadcasting
live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Clean up on aisle me. Champagne was invented when the 1960 Mets had the worst record in all of baseball. It was invented. In fact, it was invented in the 5th century. History buff Paul striking out there. A little surprised by that one.
You're only off by like 1,400 years.
Imagine having champagne that's not cold.
That would suck.
I mean, it was like lukewarm by the time we finished our bottle the other day.
That's true, but that's also because I hid it from myself so that I wouldn't be.
Yeah. But like you're saying like warm.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I would imagine it's probably, you know, like 72 plus degrees or something like that.
Yeah.
Not even lukewarm.
Well, hopefully next Thursday or Wednesday. Hopefully next Wednesday.
Are we going to do another champagne bottle if they win the fake round of the playoffs? I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can do that.
No. We do what the players do, okay? If the players celebrate with champagne,
we celebrate.
Damn it.
I'll buy the next bottle.
You got the next one?
Yeah. Okay. We'll rotate.
I mean, it's $12, but on a radio salary, it goes a long way. I was thinking, am I going to be able to pay my HOA fee this month? Definitely not going to be able to pay my energy bill, which keeps on just widely varying. Do you guys ever deal with that?
It's so up and... I mean...
My energy bill was $130 last month, and this month it was $277.
What's it like in the winter?
Great question. Probably like 80. I don't know. It just jumped. I never... It's funny. I am psycho type A. I have like a spreadsheet. I do a budget with all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the one thing I could never figure out how to budget is, well, we'll see what happens this month with my energy. I have to put it on a credit card. I never know what's gonna happen.
It's all over the place.
It's like roulette.
Yeah, I just assume it's gonna be high, and then like on my next month, like projected bills, I put the high number, and then if it comes in lower, it's like yes. But then during the winter, I don't know what it was. My electric bill was like $10.
Yeah, that's that.
And then
sounds
now
about
it's
right.
Like $250.
Yeah, it's crazy. The variance. It is not normal. As somebody who has lived in other states, like this is the one state where it does that. And I'm not trying to say what is right and what isn't right. All I'm saying is I would like a little consistency here. Much like we'd like a little consistency out of our Houston Texans. Am I right? Oh, God, I'm so good at radio. Don't you think?
Yes.
Thank you. But anyway, hopefully they're more consistent with who we think they can be on Sunday against the Jaguars. I mentioned that 6-point spread. I can't believe it hasn't changed at all.
I mean, where it start, it's well, it started at 4.5.
Yeah.
And that's what it opened up Sunday as soon as the game, the 3 o'clock window was over. And then within like an hour and a half, it moved to 6.5. So the fact that there wasn't some regression just shows you. I mean, Paul, we've been negative, not negative, but I think we've been fair about the Texans. But if you look at power rankings from like The Athletic and NFL.com, The Athletic still has the Texans as the fifth best team in the NFL.
Fifth?
Yes. After that loss. And the only reason why they're not fourth still is because they had to move Minnesota in front of them. Like, I was to lose that way, then it's like everyone's just basically outside of Houston. It's just like, who cares?
You know, it's funny. If they had lost a close game and the offense actually looked good, I bet they would still be ahead of Minnesota in the power rankings.
100%.
Pull a fast one on you to make you mad and get clicks.
That's how the NFL power rankings go, is just who do we think is good. It doesn't matter who they actually played. But yeah, I was also shocked when I saw that. When I saw they're still fifth, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I was expecting, I was like, oh, when I clicked on it, I was like, are they going to be outside the top 10? Was my thought process. And then I was like, oh, they're still top 5. Okay. To answer your question from earlier, would I be okay if the Texans won the same way the Cowboys did last night? I guess.
only I can ride the fence here. Come on.
A win's a win. But ooh. I wouldn't be happy about it.
It's going to be tough to be happy after Sunday. I really don't think there's anything they can do on Sunday to convince me that they're finally figuring it out. It's really one of those things where we got to wait until that game against the Bills, because the Bills have been there and done that. And even if the Jaguars end up doing well afterwards, I think we'd still take everything with a little bit of a grain of salt, even if the Texans win this game by a couple of scores.
I mean, even if they win, you know, like, let's say 34-20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Jags lost 47-10 the week before. Like, this is a team that just got destroyed. Gave up, what, 5 touchdowns in the first half to the Buffalo Bills? So anything with, like, without just dominating them in the way Buffalo did, there's going to be room for question. But even then, you're right. Like, we've raised the expectations for this team. And it's more about what they do the following week at home versus Buffalo than it is what they do this weekend. Like, it just doesn't matter as much. As long as you get the win, that's what matters most. I prefer it to be not as ugly.
Same.
As last night. Because last night was not a good football game.
Same. And while Kaimi Fairbairn, 2-time AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, is pretty damn good, I would prefer it to not be a field goal fest. You can't have an offense that is built on 50-plus yard field goals.
Well, I mean, you know, the Cowboys' offense is built on 60-yard field goals. So, could be worse.
Do you want to do a really quick edition of baseball this afternoon, this week?
Yes.
Today?
Is this the last one of the year?
Because teams have been clinching things, and I did want to update people, because there's some funny stories along the way.
This is baseball today, this afternoon, this week.
Forgot the order I said all those things. So, did anyone see Shohei Ohtani hit that 50-50 ball, the home run?
Mm-hmm.
He has 50-plus home runs. He has 50-plus stolen bases. Did you see the crowd of animals that were fighting one another for the ball?
Yes.
Well, we're going to court, baby. This is actually going to court. An 18-year-old who did not end up with that baseball is suing the person that fought his way to the bottom of that pile and is seeking an injunction to stop the auction scheduled to start on Friday. I'm curious as to how this works. If you watch the video, you saw what happened. If you haven't seen the video, watch it. It is kind of embarrassing the amount of adult men who are fighting each other for this 50-50 home run ball.
I can't agree with this take.
Well, how much are people going to pay for it?
They're saying it's worth at least $1 million.
That's worth $1 million? Okay, never mind. Never mind.
So let me ask you this question, Paul.
If I had rich parents, I would 100% do the same thing as this 18-year-old kid and sue to stop the auction.
What would you do in that pile for $1 million baseball?
I'd punch someone in the nuts.
At least.
Hey, I've been at the bottom of a pile in a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I was very good at recovering
fumbles. What was your
strategy? Well, the first time I ever recovered a fumble in a football game, this was my sophomore year. I had my helmet turned all the way around on my face. It hurt a lot. My neck hurt for about a week and a half afterwards, and I lost the ball because somebody else punched me in the nads.
Ugh.
So I became much better at recovering fumbles after that. I think I would be able to get in the fetal position with the ball. I think I would have been able to get it.
Yeah.
But I think the real problem is how much pain and punching could I take? And also, what happens when you get up with it? Like, do people just walk away and accept it? I don't know. I mean, this was a Dodgers game.
You guys
were
talking
Dodgers
is.
Fans.
They don't have a referee that blows it dead. That's like, nope. We got, like, they dig in the bottom of the pile and they see you covered up with it. You can't run over with the ball over your head running to the sideline. Yeah, I think you just got to leave the game immediately. Like, you get out of the pile.
How do you get out, though? I mean, are there going to be Dodger fans in the parking lot, too? They'll stab you.
Yeah, but they won't know it's you, though.
Yeah.
Just and you, put it in your pocket and keep your head down, keep it moving.
I actually bet you they got escorted out of the game by security. Because security probably tried to negotiate. The team probably tried to negotiate with them.
Oh, that's true. Before they You're left. Right. They'll send some goons over to try to get the ball. Like, hey, Shohei would love it if you would just give this to him for free. Here's an autographed bat.
Yeah. I wonder how it works, because if I remember correctly, this was in Miami. that he actually hit the 51.
Oh, it was in Miami. Okay.
Yeah, so I wonder how much the road team helps out the Dodgers, you know, how they would help out the team in that.
I mean, I feel like if you're the Dodgers, you have to have, like, you have to, like, hire extra employees or, like, fly everyone in from L.A. and just, like, have them, like, in, like, standing room only.
Just plants?
And just, like, plants. And it's just like, hey, when it happens. Now, he did hit 3 home runs in this game, so they might not have been ready for it. But, okay, I know that was impressive. But then he hit this double, like, 2 days later. 117 miles per hour off the bat. Oh, my gosh.
Is that a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
He might be the best baseball player of all time already.
Wow.
He's so good. He's finished top 4 in the Cy Young, like, what, 3 times?
I was going to say, I think it's pretty obvious he's the best baseball player.
Yeah. And he hasn't even accomplished anything in the postseason. Hasn't even played in a postseason game.
Hey, just because Babe Ruth played when it was segregated is no reason to not say Babe is still the guy. He was a fatty eating hot dogs when he did what he did. He did it in spite of acid reflux. Hangovers, come on!
Constipation. Yeah.
A lot of that, that's for sure. More around baseball. It was pretty cool to see all the A's fans show up for the last game at the Coliseum. Did you see, though, that the A's ownership instructed the players to get the bleep out as quickly as possible? They did not listen to this. Mark Kotze gave a nice speech to the crowd at the very end. But they actually had a directive to the players. Hey, leave the ballpark as soon as this is over.
What's the scumbags?
He really... John Fisher, all-time... All-time sports movie villain.
I mean, like, honestly, like, this is... And, I think he's getting all the blame. And he should be getting 90% of it. Maybe less. I think it's despicable that these owners, including Jim Crane, like, they're all at fault, have let this happen. Like, just that let some loser like this run an organization the way he has to not negotiate in good faith, to intentionally trade away your best players whenever they start to get expensive. Just run an operation like this. The owner should have stepped in and stopped it. And they won't, because in case they decide they want to do the same thing.
You're right, but it is one of those things where I feel like owners should be more cutthroat with bad owners.
100%.
It's weird there's this boy system where they won't do in one of their own. Oh, so people who have accrued all of this wealth over a long period of time, probably backstabbing so many people along the way because they don't care. They're all about the power. Now all of a sudden they stop? They want to do this, I would bet. Why don't they do it? Have some balls.
Yeah, just get rid of them.
I want some owner on owner crime. It would make the game more fun. The billionaires are fighting each other, getting in fist fights and stuff like that. It would be great.
I still want to do, like, if you don't make the playoffs for, like, a certain amount of years, you are forced to sell the team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's like the Jets would have new ownership group because they haven't made the playoffs in, like, 12 years.
You still make money.
Yeah. Yeah, you still make a couple billion.
Yeah.
Like, it's still a great deal. But, like, you have 10 years to make the playoffs. If you don't make it, you're out of here.
It would just be so funny when, like, a team gets inherited and then the kid, it's like if that happened to the Steelers or something, it's like, it's out of the family because you were such a moron.
It would be funny.
That you couldn't make the playoffs.
But it would put pressure on them to actually try. But, again, that'll never happen. We can only wish. I can dream about you. All right, that's baseball this afternoon, this week, today. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. I got a bad feeling about this one. I got a bad feeling about Sunday. I think I'm about to talk myself into the Jaguars winning. We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.